So tonight, actually, we're back. I'm going to go back to refer to the verse in Revelation chapter 1. I think it's verse 6, where he says, he has made you a kingdom of priests. Now, last week, we talked about that priesthood of all believers and all the duties that we have, the privileges that we have, being a priest of the Most High God. But it says we made a kingdom of priests. So I didn't want to touch on that kingdom a little bit. We know that Jesus is the king, but the privileges of being in the kingdom of God that he has made as a kingdom of priests to him. That is like a nation of priests. And we're part of this wonderful kingdom. And so I want to spend just a few moments thinking about that kingdom, and maybe we'll get to the next passage tonight. But in Luke 12:32, it says this: "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, God is in the business of establishing a kingdom. And this kingdom is a kingdom that is not of this world. Jesus says that about this kingdom. We have to understand that something happened in the Garden of Eden when God created Adam and Eve and gave them this world and everything that was in it and the beauty of it, the control of it. He gave them the stewardship to take care of it, everything. And then Lucifer comes along and Adam and Eve sell out. They sell out. They turn their back on God and they listen to the devil. And as a result of that, the fall happens. Sin comes in the world. And the world then becomes a mess. And it didn't take long for it to show itself in its full ugliness, because Adam and Eve had two sons, and what happened? Cain kills Abel. It only had to go down one generation before the first murder happened. It's amazing how quickly sin had infected perfection. Where there had been perfection before, now there is sin. And that sin has permeated the entire human race. Romans chapter 5 says, by one man, sin has entered into the human race. And that was Adam's sin, and it had fallen on us. And we reap the consequences of it, and we've contributed to its actions. And so we have this rulership of Satan in the world because of man's sin. But God looks on this world, and he looks on people within it, and he says, I'm still going to buy back people out of this mess. I'm going to make a kingdom. And I'm going to bring people out of this situation. And in order to do that, he had to eventually send his son, Jesus Christ. Now, just because his son came thousands of years later doesn't mean that what he did at the cross wasn't powerful enough to save anybody in the Old Testament before Jesus by the work that he did here. If they put faith in God there, then they're saved by what Jesus does here. It's an amazing thing, because God is bigger than time. So at an appointed time, Jesus came into the world to save sinners, but he didn't just come to save the sinners in his day, nor the sinners in a future day, our day, but also to save sinners in the past as well. Because through the blood of Jesus Christ, people are saved in the Old Testament and the New Testament, from the beginning of time to the end of time. But he doesn't just save us so that we'll have our sins forgiven. He saves us to put us into a kingdom and to become that kingdom of priests that we talked about, with some of the duties that we said we have as a priest. Which were, can anybody remember any of those duties?
Tell others about Jesus.
Okay. We're to proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That was one of them. Is there another
praise.
One?
Praise.
The sacrifice of praise, right?
Exactly.
Hebrews chapter 13. We're to offer sacrifices to God, not for sin, but to offer praise to God. What else are we to offer?
Thankfulness.
Okay, thankfulness. Do you remember what the other one was?
Ourselves.
Ourselves, right? Present your whole being as a living sacrifice to God. That's right. Was there anything else? That's a tall order, isn't it?
Huh?
To do these things, to offer ourselves to God, to be a servant of others, to be there to serve, and to honor the Lord. Priests of the Most High God. with the one high priest, Jesus Christ. But he also tells us that we're in a kingdom and that there's this incredible, glorious kingdom that we become part of. Now, when do we become part of that kingdom? I'm going to give you a little list of things here that God establishes a kingdom. And a kingdom cannot be moved. And the kingdom has a king. His name is Jesus. So, and the kingdom is offered to the world. It was offered to you, right? Kingdom can be entered. And then we can experience the kingdom's blessings. So, Jesus said in John 12:31, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Speaking of the coming of the cross. Because through the cross, I said this on Sunday, Jesus binds the devil's power from keeping you in his kingdom, in his domain, through the cross. When we come to Christ, because of the cross of Christ, because of what he did there, we can move out of the kingdom of Satan, out of his dominion, and then go into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Colossians chapter 1 tells us that. We move out from one into the other. We'll look at that verse a little bit later. And so Jesus, when he says this, that the ruler of this world no longer has this power to keep the whole world in his sway. I will no longer talk much, John 14:30 says, with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Speaking of Satan's work. In John, 1 John 5:19, he says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So there's obvious that the wicked one has a dominion and a control. But where does that dominion and control, where is it found? It's found in those who do not trust in Jesus Christ. Sadly, some Christians don't know how free they are because of what Jesus has done, and they still listen to the devil's voice. They're not in his kingdom anymore, because if you've been taken out of one kingdom and put in the other, you're in the new kingdom, you're in the kingdom of God. You're not in his kingdom, but you can still listen to his voice. Let me encourage you, plug your ears to the devil's call, because he has no more power over you. He can lie to you, he can deceive you, but you're no longer in his dominion. You've been placed into a different kingdom, and I praise God for that. But here's what happens in the world. It says, 2 Corinthians 4:3, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age, not the Lord, but the God, the ruler, that's what that word means, small g, the ruler of this age has blinded those minds. People's minds are blinded. Wasn't yours at one time?
Yes.
Weren't you blind to who God was and to Christ and what he had done for you?
Yes.
You had blinders on. Even if somebody came to you and said, you need the Lord in your life, you'd look at them like, are you nuts? Are you crazy?
No, we had him in our minds, maybe. Like, we knew he died on the cross.
You know, some do.
But,
not everybody.
No, but I mean, even...
But even that, you were blind to what it really meant.
Yes, we were.
You heard those things,
yeah, exactly.
But they didn't mean anything.
No.
And this is what the devil does. Yeah. It's the people that are perishing, the gospel is veiled to them. It's hidden from them.
Yeah.
They're not in the kingdom. And it says here... Did it break? It says here, whose minds the God of this age has blinded... Those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So the devil's busy blinding people's minds, distracting them, bringing anything he can in to turn their hearts and their minds away from God. Now, the next verse is so good, I don't even have it up here on the board here, but it says, but God, here's the next verse, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God has broke through the devil's barrier. He has broke through the cloud. He's ripped the veil away so that you can see salvation and see the kingdom of God and put your trust in Jesus Christ. So that the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, now you see it. Before you couldn't, now you do. Now, and so this is what he does. The devil seeks to blind us, but the Lord brings the light. That's why Jesus said, I am the light of the world. That's why part of your priestly duty is to be lights shining in the darkness. Yes.
So when I understand this here, I was legally blind.
Yes, you were.
More, I mean, totally.
Totally blind. Yeah, more than legally blind. Oh, completely
yeah,
blind.
Never yeah. to come back.
Yeah.
But that's the way it felt. Yeah. Legally blind.
Absolutely.
Because that means...
Zippo.
I don't want to use any of these fire words, but that yeah. means nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
Nothing at all.
Absolutely.
We were all there.
They actually use another...
Yeah, but... No, but that don't matter.
I know,
we're
I know,
all
I know.
There.
One's as blind as the other. You know, if you have two people that are stone blind, one's not more blind than the other. They're both blind, right? But in another passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, you were once dead in
right.
your sins.
Right.
Dead. You were right. walking dead. You were the zombies. Yeah. And yet God comes and he wakes you up and causes
right.
you to come alive. But Jesus came to establish a kingdom. In Matthew, a definite kingdom, Matthew 28:18, it says, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so we know that he has that authority. He has that kind of authority now. Now, the thing is here's Jesus, and he comes to set up a kingdom. And this kingdom is the kingdom of God. And he is the king of it, and he has all authority. He also has authority over all the world and over the devil too. But those who choose to continue to follow the devil are under his authority. But Jesus comes and he rescues people out from the devil's authority and brings them into his kingdom. He's been doing that for thousands of years. Why would he rescue somebody like you? Gee, I have no idea.
Some of us were born blind.
We were all born blind. The whole human race is born blind because of the devil and because of sin. And that is why we need the lights to come on. That is where we as believers have the privilege of praying for others, yeah. that their eyes would be opened, of serving others, of sharing the truth to others, of loving others, mm-hmm. and of course ourselves walking in the power and strength of the Spirit of God. Revelation 19:16, speaking of Jesus Christ on his return, it says he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, even this kingdom that's established, you can't say, well, I'm going to go over to Israel and find the kingdom of God. You're not going to find it there anymore, and you're going to find it here. It's not a physical kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. But when we say spiritual, some might think, oh, well, that's not real. But oh, how real it is. Now, when he was asked, Luke 17:20, by the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. It's not like, oh, we're going to start the United States of America, or we're going to start this country. We're going to Cape Breton's going to become a separate country. It's going to be the kingdom of Cape Breton. It's not like that. It's not going to be anyway. I don't think anyhow. But the kingdom of God is not a physical, geographical kingdom, because he said, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God comes within us. We know that this kingdom is established because we have the authority of Jesus Christ. It tells us that Jesus, being found, Philippians 2:8, in appearance as a man, humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He has the authority to establish a kingdom, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And that kingdom is established through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is always through the gospel. We know that because in 1 Corinthians 15:1, it says, moreover, brothers, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you received and which you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed for nothing or in vain. He says, listen, this gospel that I declared is what saves you. It's the word that's been preached. It's the one that you believed. And it's what you stand in. And he says, for I delivered to you first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Without that, you have no kingdom. There's no doorway. Remember, John chapter 10 says, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. We have no doorway into the kingdom. We're on the outside of it. We can't get in. But now, Christ has established through the gospel a doorway into the kingdom of God. Thank God for that doorway. It's a narrow door. You have to come this one way. But it's wide enough for anybody to come if they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so because we belong to that kind of a kingdom, Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore, he, that is Christ, is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. I like that. Save to the uttermost. Completely. He's able to save you completely because he always lives to make intercession for them, to look out for you. He always lives for you. Isn't that a relief to know that? That he's able to do that? And of course, we have this passage in John's Gospel, which I spoke on not long ago, actually in Dingwall, or in Bay St. Lawrence, in John 3:3, Jesus said, most assuredly say, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Remember? Mm-hmm. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Do not marvel. I said to you, you must be born again. So there's a kingdom is offered, and a kingdom needs to be received. But once we receive that kingdom, we're born into the kingdom of God. You know, if you were born in England, what would that make you?
An English citizen.
An English person. You would have an English citizenship, right?
Yeah.
If you're born in Canada, then you have...
Canadian.
You're a Canadian. If you're born into the kingdom of God, then...
You're a subject
of the kingdom of God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You have all the rights and privileges of a child of the king.
Yes.
Amen. Right?
Amen.
So how do I get born into the kingdom of God?
Born again.
By faith in Jesus Christ, right. As I believe in him,
yeah.
I'm born into the kingdom of God. I have a spiritual birth, a new birth. I become a new creation. I belong to a new kingdom.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
That's what God does when we become a believer in Jesus Christ.
If you understand and believe, right?
Yes.
Okay.
If you trust in Christ as your Savior.
I had a problem with
yeah.
that.
Yeah. If you believe, if you trust Christ as your Savior, as soon as you trust Christ as your Savior, bang, you're in the kingdom of God.
You can be reborn, but if you're not.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You can be physically born, but yeah. you're not in the kingdom of God. To get in the kingdom of God, I have to have a spiritual birth because it's a spiritual kingdom. That makes sense, doesn't it? And so we have this promise. As many as received him, that is Jesus, John 1:12, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. That is, in the family of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God. Amazing.
Before Sunday night, then I would have lost... From what I was living, I would have gone.
Not necessarily, because you said you did put your faith in Christ. You didn't know the term born again, but you had said, yes, Lord, I trusted in him. So what Sunday night does is clear up the matter so that you understand the term, what it means, right? And so he brought them out. This is in Acts 16:20, and here was a man, a Philippian jailer, who wanted to be saved. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.
It's clear.
That's what it is. That's the gospel. And here's the warning that comes about people who do not trust Christ. He says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, so that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. He gives us an unshakable kingdom. Everything else is going to shake. Everything else is going to perish. Everything in this world, everything we could cling to is going to come to pieces. You know, I told you the story many times of that Eskimo guy who lived in the mountains in Alaska, the great earthquake that happened there. If you remember that earthquake, I forget what year it was. But it shook the Alaska in an incredible way. He was living in a cave, actually, with his family. And he came out of the cave, and he looked around, and the mountains were jiggling. The big snow-topped peaked mountains were all jiggling, and he was jiggling, and he said it was an awful feeling. I could not find anything to hold on to that wasn't shaking. Everything will shake, friends. And as we go through the book of Revelation, we will see that, how everything else perishes. Don't get too excited about this world, because it's passing away. Use it, but don't abuse it. Right? Use it, but don't abuse it, because it's all going to shake. But the kingdom of God is an unshakable kingdom, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving, Hebrews 12:28, a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Yes, Lord, let us be in awe, respect, and reverence of a God who has won us into this kingdom, and let's live to this kingdom that cannot be shaken. The result is kingdom blessings when we're in the kingdom of God. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us. He's made qualified you. Do you feel qualified to be a Christian? Do you feel qualified to be a priest of the Most High God? Do you feel worthy to be a servant of the Most High and to be in God's heaven? I don't feel worthy or qualified. I couldn't qualify myself, could I? No way. But what does it say? He has qualified you. How has He qualified you? He's forgiven you all your sins. He's taken them all away. He doesn't hold them against you. That's amazing. It's incredible what He has done. He has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has done it. He has made you one of the saints of God. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. Look, Colossians 1:13. And conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. There's that kingdom. See it? In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. There it is. It's through what He has done. Not through what you've done, through what He has done. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it glorious? Thank you, Lord. It is through Christ that we have this forgiveness. And it's through what He did on the cross. Again, you see how the cross is so tied to it all, right? It's through the cross. The kingdom blessings are ours, friends. Seek the kingdom of God, and all the other things will be added to you. Keep putting the things of the kingdom first in your life. Look for those things. Don't get sidetracked in running after this and that, the other thing, thinking that somehow that will satisfy your heart and your soul and your life. They won't. They're perishing. They're falling away. But seek the kingdom of God, and the other things will be added to you. What are some of the fruits and the blessings of the kingdom? The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, says this: love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are all part, and there's no law against those things. Those are the things you want more of in your life, friends. Those are the things of the kingdom. Those are the real jewels and the real treasure. You could chase the ace all your life, and it would not match one of these things to have love alone. That's what everybody really wants, isn't it? Yes. To have joy. Yep. Don't you want joy? Yep. Peace. Look at the list. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, open our eyes to see the treasures of the real kingdom, oh God. Yes. Don't let us be fooled by the emptiness of this world and all that it has to offer. Mm-hmm. But turn our eyes towards You, Lord, and let us discover the fullness of that kingdom. Yes. And ultimately, God's plan is that His kingdom will be completely established. And we will be there without the other kingdom perishes. It all fades away. It all disappears. So that in the end of it all, Revelation 21:3, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. He said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son or my daughter. And so, yes, he is able to save us completely. He has a plan. It's a spiritual kingdom, but it's real. We're just passing through here. If you haven't noticed, you will eventually. You're just on a very short journey here, and then we enter into the fullness of the kingdom that God has for us. So what has he done? He's made us kings and priests. And I'm looking again, or kingdom of priests, at that passage in Revelation for a moment here.
Another passage in Tithe 10.
Which?
Revelation 5:10. It says also that, and you have called them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth.
1:6.
Yes, Revelation 5:10 has a similar verse. Made you a kingdom of priests. So I didn't want to pass over that word kingdom. I didn't want it to be just, you know, just a word that we saw. But to stop and to pause and to think about it there, you see it in Revelation 1:6. He has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. And then what happens? He bursts into praise. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen means so be it. It's the case. There it is. So I was going to do Revelation 1:7 tonight, but I think we're going to do it next week, where it says, Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. That's our verse for next week. We will look at Jesus returning and what that means. We don't understand. I don't understand it all, but I'll look at some of the verses that surround the coming of the Lord. As we go through Revelation, I'm going to be sharing with you that there are different ideas about how it's all going to pan out in the end, like 7 years of tribulation and, you know, those kinds of things. Yeah. So we're going to look at some of those things. I'm going to probably say some things that some people would say, oh, that Pierre's out to lunch. That's okay. I don't mind being out to lunch. And others are going to say, well, you know, I think it's going to happen this way. But what I want to do is at least give it a fair shake to look at the Word of God and see, well, what does the Bible actually say? And one of the principles of help understand the Bible is to let the Bible interpret the Bible. So if there's something in Revelation, because there's all kinds of pictures in Revelation, I need other parts of the Bible to help explain it and to understand it. We'll get there, and we'll work our way through one step at a time. But for tonight, I want you to think about the reality you're walking in the kingdom of God. When you go to the store, you're still walking in the kingdom of God. There's no place on earth that you're not walking in the kingdom of God if you're in the kingdom. That's an amazing privilege, right? You don't have to live under the dominion of the devil. You don't have to listen to his voice. You're not his slave any longer. The only thing is, sometimes we think we still are, so we behave like we're still in the other when we're not. Don't go there. You don't have to go there. You've been delivered. We saw that already. Cave conveyed. Taken out. You're now a priest of the Most High God, living in the privilege of the kingdom of God. But remember, the only real reason why we'd be left here on earth is so that we can invite others into the kingdom. To help open the eyes of the blind so that they too can see the kingdom of God, see the Savior, see the gospel, come to Jesus, let the God of shine into their hearts, and then see them in the kingdom too. I want others to come in this kingdom with us. Mm-hmm.